This is Get Lit with Literature, and this is Monk. There's more at allbook-books.com. As I did with Cobalt Red, about the atrocious cobalt mining in the Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo, DRC, I did a preview, and I'm also going to do a preview of this fabulous book. Has me lit with literature. Excited reading this, but it's also a disturbing book. I am excited to learn what the F is going on, because this book is telling me stuff that I have not read hardly anywhere. So either I'm not looking at the appropriate news sources, or it's being squelched. This is The Rare Metals War, The Dark Side of Clean Energy and Digital Technologies by Guillaume, if I pronounce his French name right, Guillaume Pitron, published by Scribe. He's an award-winning journalist, documentary maker for France's leading television channels. His work focuses on commodities and on the economic, political, and environmental issues associated with their use. It's translated by Bianca Jacobson, a South African French translator. And I want to preface this by saying that I'm a huge fan, so to speak, of ancient Chinese culture, as one aspect of my path is the Taoist philosophy or way of being. It's not just philosophizing, it's putting into daily practice. And also, I have studied for, it's like 25 or so years. I'm a self-taught brush calligrapher studying. I've studied the ancient Chinese pictographs. I don't know much about the language or the words, but I have learned a lot from the meanings and of the pictographs. So there's obviously, as with any culture, what is ancient is not always what is present. Or it is to some degree, but in my opinion, China has lost touch with much of that, the Taoist way, at least on the geopolitical front. So I wanted to give the background information on this before doing the actual book review, because the background is significant. So there's like basically two prevailing winds going on currently, and one is the typical U.S. empire demonizing of China, trying to stoke possibilities for war, which has many journalists on the so-called left writing about and talking about all that. And okay, I am all for that. I think the demonization of China is ludicrous, and that it's part of the, what was a few years ago, I forget the exact year, as the global war of terror, the GWAFT, that faded from the news, and they rebranded it into the Great Power Competition. I'll bet you 95% of the people have heard of the Great Global War on Terror, which more appropriately Global War of Terror, but I'll bet you 5% have heard of the Great Power Competition. And that was just, you can look up more about it, that was a strategic decision by the U.S. to focus on China and Russia as the new demonic enemies. Like, what happened to Islam? Islam and all that stuff, suddenly they became off the radar. So that's suspicious from number one. So I am not anti-China, and I am for peace. Now, the other angle is how wonderful China is doing with the Belt Road Initiative and the multipolar, and how they're bringing the world together, and they're standing up to, you know, China and Russia are standing up to the U.S., and this is part of what's being dubbed the multipolar world, whereas the U.S. has ruled economics and policies for many, many decades, if not centuries, as the unipolar. So there's all these terms flying around, and so while I think they're partially accurate and significant, what is being overlooked is the environmental and Mother Earth angle, because nary a mention in all the geopolitical analysis about the mining and the pollution that goes with mining. So this book has, along with it being very informative, I'm a little more than halfway through, it has me annoyed that all these reports and stuff is going on, and then I've got to find out, I find this out in a book. So as much as I love finding out stuff on the internet, I am once again skeptical. I tend to find out more in-depth and more fully researched information in a book. That is consistent to me over the years. So I am definitely continually pro-book. Let's see, what else can I say? I noticed years ago that when I sensed that, or just from observation, that China was using the kind of American dream model in their westernized approach in the East, as they were raising standards of living. And if you remember, well, some will remember back in the 1950s, the huge push, for example, a certain lifestyle with women in their houses and apartments, showing their, allowing their appliances, their new appliances, the dishwashers and all these comforts. And that's where I saw China going, except the huge concern where the U.S. has, you know, back then less, but now 330 million people, China has about 1 billion people. So whether it's a dishwasher or a gadget, what does that require? Tons of metals and minerals, whatever, I'm not a geologist, whatever goes into that, let's call them the metals, because this book, that's what this book is about, The Rare Metals War, The Dark Side of Clean Energy and Digital Technologies. So all these metals and yada yada going into it, and China has the most of them. China controls most of them. So in effect, China, in that sense, controls the production of and the economics of the global economy, because they're sitting on the rare earth metals. So one thing that Patron mentions is that in China, acceptance of an authoritarian regime in exchange for rising standards of living. Well, that to me is very much the American dream 2.0. Bow to the system and the authorities and we'll give you a better standard of living. Now, of course, many are going to like that. If you're coming out of struggle or poverty, you know, to many, the better standards of living is a huge difference. So there's two sides of this coin to one can argue, but I tend to look, but I'm looking at more of the bigger picture. And so to me, how much is, it's obviously it's relative to one's experience. But when I look at the big picture, standards of living versus authoritarian regime. So, why is all this positive talk about how much China has done when it's under this authoritarian banner? Maybe that other people have names for that. Some call them communist. I think they're capitalist with a communist or sort of Taoist in quotes flavor, because they're not warlike. That's another point I wanted to make that I think is essential. China is doing business around the world. They actually brokered a peace deal between Iran and Saudi Arabia. They're trying to broker a peace deal with Ukraine, so I allowed them for that. They're not warlike, but I consider them warlike with the mining, because the war on Mother Earth is affecting, is polluting land, air, and water, and many of the common people are suffering because of that. So it's a multi-pronged discussion. But I wanted to give this all the preview before getting into the book, and there may be a week in between, or some weeks in between, depending on when I finish the book. But that's, I just wanted to give that heads up. Another thing it got me thinking about, which was that in the sense that China, and I think I remember a lot of, I think it was Nixon, whatever, that opened up business with China. And so I'm thinking a lot of Chinese people have studied, a lot of Chinese people have come to America and studied economic policy and brought that back to China. That is my educated guess. And so I think a lot of the Chinese, business model is, again, flavored with the quote-unquote American dream of getting more and more and more. So this had me thinking of a quote that I put in my book. This is when I first read this, it was both startling and confirming a sense that I had. This is by John Trudell. I think that the Nazis won World War II. Their authoritarian method of behavior control and mind manipulation, converting spirit into energy so they can feed the need for their technology, turning it into energy to run their system. We need to remember what happens to the Earth happens to us. So there it is, the authoritarian method of behavior control and mind manipulation. That's another thing Patron mentions, is the Chinese people's opinions and this and that being heavily monitored and censored. And in the sense that, again, I'll cite the Operation Paperclip, when various Nazi scientists and engineers were brought to the U.S. So while all the historical counts will say that the Russia, for the most part, and the U.S. helped defeat the Nazis, there is flipping the perspective on its head in the sense of the behavioral patterns and the under-the-radar economy and research and science. In that sense, the Nazis won World War II. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that while it seems like China and the U.S. are sparring, that China has taken on the mantle of the American dream. And the book also mentions how science and technology have for many, many years been part of their programming for how to seek to succeed in business. So they have science and technology, and they sit on the various rare metals. So they sit on the various rare metals, and while many are concerned about a nuclear war, which of course is a concern, and China, going, and U.S. and China going to war, of course that's a concern. I'm just saying at the lack of it lacks a bigger picture, and part of that bigger picture is, here's a quote from the book, 10%. This is about China. 10% of its arable land is contaminated by heavy metals, and 80% of its groundwater is unfit for consumption. Only 5 of the 500 biggest cities in China meet international standards for air quality, and there are 1.6 million deaths per year due to air pollution alone. Now, that was not turned into a COVID global pandemic. 106 million deaths per year due to air pollution. Like, what is going on there? And again, what the heck is going on there? How is that overlooked? How is that ignored? Nobody gave much of a squat about that, but suddenly there was a global pandemic, and that was the concern. Obviously, many lives lost there too. But I don't even know. But that's a huge toll from air pollution without that being a global pandemic discussion. And yet another nuance is that China, U.S. business, U.S. relies on China for whatever percentage is Walmart. So it's like almost any posturing of one thing, you cannot fully go by that, because, I personally don't see how U.S. can go to actual war with China. Because, if China pulls the strings, that would ruin the U.S. economy. So I don't see the war happening, but that is all of these topics are loaded discussions. But my focus here in giving the preview is to say that I think it's nuanced, and I'm upset by the anti-China rhetoric and the overly pro-China rhetoric, because I think there's a middle ground discussion that needs to happen, and this book thus far is enlightening me to what's going on. So. It's in very much ways follow up to one of my all time favorite books, Open Veins of Latin America, 5 Centuries of the Pillage of a Continent by Eduardo Galeano, because it's in effect the same behavior going on, where the so-called resources and the elements and the energies from the earth, instead of being respected as of the earth and having consciousness and a spirit, as a plan to get more into, as was mentioned a lot, the reverence for the stone beings in the world we used to live in, about the medicine men, that book by Vine Deloria Jr. So while it's So while I'm not, like I said, I'm not pro-China, I'm not anti-China, but I think there's a nuanced discussion that needs to happen as to what is going on with all these minerals and metals and what effect it has to do with the environment and how it is feeding all the gadgetry. And that's the other aspect, another major aspect of the book is that people don't realize all these gadgets, that what goes into them, the destruction that goes into them and the reliance, and that any gadget that becomes then an essential component, for example, the cell phone, that gadget relies on the resource metal from a certain part of the world or certain parts of the world. So it is a global tangled issue, and it's very nuanced. The more and more I read about this stuff, the more and more overrated I think the TET technology is, as much as I appreciate it and am, you know, recording this on a digital recorder to get the word out. I still am more and more starting to think that the whole sense of these essential metals, how essential are they? And we need to rethink that. How essential and how hooked can we get on all this communication through gadgets if it is literally destroying and polluting? So I'll leave it with that, Zen Koan. And thank you for listening, and be well.